Every great thinker works outside the box. They trust their own instinct and create their own clocks. They never accept what the five senses see, but are open to every great possibility, looking for answers and a new way to see.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting, hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, simply click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's join together in song by singing hymn number 145. Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of this healing message is Don't Be Fooled by Illusion. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. We'll start with the Bible. Ecclesiastes, who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. Genesis, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is an hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father. And Isaac his father said unto him, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. In the Gospel according to St. Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he saith unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. Exodus. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Now from John's Gospel. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Take heed that ye be not deceived. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There's some references in there from Luke and Job as well. Now, correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The realities of being, its normal action, and the origin of all things are unseen to mortal sense, whereas the unreal and imitative movements of mortal belief, which would reverse the immortal modus in action, are styled the real. Whoever contradicts this mortal mind's supposition of reality is called a deceiver, or is said to be deceived. Lulled by stupefying illusions, the world is asleep in the cradle of infancy, dreaming away the hours. Material sense does not unfold the facts of existence, but spiritual sense lifts human consciousness into eternal truth. Nothing is real and eternal. Nothing is spirit, but God and His idea. Evil has no reality. It is neither person, place, nor thing, but is simply a belief, an illusion of material sense. Definition of believing: mortal thoughts, illusion. Flesh, an illusion. Error is false mortal belief. It is illusion without spiritual identity or foundation, and it has no real existence. Be no more willing to suffer the illusion that you are sick or that some disease is developing in the system than you are to yield to a sinful temptation on the ground that sin has its necessities. When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and His idea. Allow nothing but His likeness to abide in your thought. Realize that the evidence of the senses is not to be accepted in the case of sickness any more than it is in the case of sin. Jacob, a corporeal mortal embracing duplicity, repentance, sensualism. Paul said, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Sooner or later, we shall learn that the fetters of man's finite capacity are forged by the illusion that he lives in body instead of in soul, in matter instead of in spirit. The physical effects of fear illustrate its illusion. When, led by wisdom to cast down his rod, he saw it become a serpent, Moses fled before it. But wisdom bade him come back and handle the serpent. And then Moses' fear departed. In this incident was seen the actuality of science. Matter was shown to be a belief only. It was scientifically demonstrated that leprosy was a creation of mortal mind and not a condition of matter. When Moses first put his hand into his bosom and drew it forth with white as snow with the dread disease, and presently restored his hand to its natural condition by the same simple process. The illusion of Moses lost its power to alarm him when he discovered that what he apparently saw was really but a phase of mortal belief. Mortal belief is a liar from the beginning, not deserving power. It says to mortals, "You are wretched," and they think they are so, and nothing can change this state until the belief changes. Human belief says to mortals, "You are sick," and this testimony manifests itself on the body as sickness. Mortal belief says you are happy, and mortals are so, and no circumstance can alter the situation until the belief on this subject changes. It is as necessary for a health illusion as for an illusion of sickness to be instructed out of itself into the understanding of what constitutes health. For a change in either a health belief or a belief in sickness affects the physical condition. Matter and its effects, sin, sickness, and death, are states of mortal mind, which act, react, and then come to a stop. They are not facts of mind. They are not ideas, but illusions. Mind is not the author of matter, and the creator of ideas is not the creator of illusions. How are veritable ideas to be distinguished from illusions? By learning the origin of each. Ideas are emanations from the divine mind. thoughts proceeding from the brain or from matter are offshoots of mortal mind. They are mortal material beliefs. Ideas are spiritual, harmonious, and eternal. Mortal mind is ignorant of self, or it can never be self-deceived. If mortal mind knew how to be better, it would be better. Since it must believe in something besides itself, it enthrones matter as deity. Matter, illusion. Any supposed information coming from the body or from inert matter, as if either were intelligent, is an illusion of mortal mind, one of its dreams. Matter and mortal mind are but different strata of human belief. The grosser substratum is named matter or body. The more ethereal is called mind. This so-called mind and body is the illusion called a mortal, a mind in matter. In reality and in science, both strata, mortal mind and mortal body, are false representatives of man. Scientifically speaking, there is no mortal mind out of which to make material beliefs, springing from illusion. Beliefs proceed from the so-called material senses, which at one time are supposed to be substance matter, and at another are called spirits. Disquisitions on disease have a mental effect similar to that produced on children by telling ghost stories in the dark. As frightened children look everywhere for the imaginary ghost, so sick humanity sees danger in every direction and looks for relief in all ways except the right one. Ghost, an illusion. Death, an illusion. The lie of life and matter, the unreal and untrue, the opposite of life. In the illusion of death, mortals wake to the knowledge of two facts. One, that they are not dead. Two, that they have passed the portals of a new belief. Truth works out the nothingness of error in just these ways. The very name illusion points to nothingness. The apostle says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." The spiritual fact and the material belief of things are contradictions. But the spiritual is true, and therefore the material must be untrue. Life is not in matter. Therefore, it cannot be said to pass out of matter. Matter and death are mortal illusions. Spirit and all things spiritual are the real and eternal. If Jesus awakened Lazarus from the dream, illusion of death, this proved that the Christ could improve on a false sense. The fact that the Christ or truth overcame and still overcomes death proves the King of Terrors to be but a mortal belief or error, which truth destroys with the spiritual evidences of life. And this shows that what appears to the senses to be death is but a mortal illusion. For to the real man and the real universe, there is no death process. Let us be faithful in pointing the way through Christ as we understand it. But let us also be careful always to judge righteous judgment, and never to condemn rashly. Citizens of the world, accept the glorious liberty of the children of God, and be free. This is your divine right. The illusion of material sense, not divine law, has bound you, entangled your free limbs, crippled your capacities, enfeebled your body, and defaced the tablet of your being. The more destructive matter becomes, the more its nothingness will appear, until matter reaches its mortal zenith in illusion and forever disappears. The nearer a false belief approaches truth, without passing the boundary where, having been destroyed by divine love, it ceases to be even an illusion, the riper it becomes for destruction. The more material the belief, the more obvious its error, until divine spirit, supreme in its domain, dominates all matter, and man is found in the likeness of spirit, his original being. Divine science lays the axe at the root of the illusion that life or mind is formed by or is in the material body. And science will eventually destroy this illusion through the self-destruction of all error and the beatified understanding of the science of life.